I want to make sure and mention that next week, after we worship together, we will fellowship together. Doug has ministered here for 20 years. That's a long time to put up with him, so we're going to celebrate, all right? Something like that. No, honestly, that is a tremendous, from an earthly standpoint. I mean, nobody in this world is more important of a soul than anybody else, but 20 years of ministry is an accomplishment in one location, one spot. That's 20 years of love and tears and heartaches and victories. And so we want to make sure that we celebrate that, because that in itself is very important. I know that Doug and Nikki and Jonah, even though you haven't been here for 20 years, are grateful for the opportunity to have been here and to served and to loved and to seen babies born and to watch loved ones go on to heaven. And so next week, it is so important. I can't stress it enough that we will worship and then fellowship and honor the ministry of Doug here with us for 20 years. And so we want to make sure and do that. So we're going to do that with a meal. It's kind of like a potluck thing. And if you don't have a potluck to bring, just come anyway. And Tim said he would give you his meal, right? Something like that. There'll be plenty. Don't come because you don't bring something. Come to celebrate. And that's what we intend to do next week after we worship our Lord. We intend to celebrate a family who has been with this family for an extended, a long period of time, and for however many more, the next 20 years to come. So we'll do that next week. Let's pray together. Father, you above all are honored today by our presence. We give to you our hearts and our souls. We thank you for saving us and saving our souls. Father, you are incredible. We thank you for your presence as we worship you today. In the name of Jesus, the church said. Amen. He had Adam and Eve, all right? Remember the story? Remember the story how God created everything and then Adam and Eve messed up? And then you had a lot of stories. I mean, a little bit of feedback here. Then you have a lot of the stories that we learned in Bible class and vacation Bible school. And then we had the cross, and that we just talked about, of Jesus dying. We remembered what he did on the cross, and we remembered how he gave his life. And then we have what we celebrate today, not just today, but every Sunday that we gather today, of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And so I ask the question this morning, why is the resurrection even important? Why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ important? What is the big deal about it? What is the big deal about getting here today and celebrating and worshiping Him? What is the big deal about serving and worshiping a resurrected Savior? Sure, He died and He was buried and He was raised to life. What is the big deal? Why do we celebrate? Let's go back to the fall for just a second. Genesis chapter 3. It was not just a story of creation, although it was. Genesis chapter 3 was not just this great and grand story of what God created. It wasn't just a story of a man and a woman who were created in His image. And it wasn't even just a story of somebody who messed up. You see, Genesis chapter 3 is the spot in the creation story, or God's beginning story, where Adam and Eve both took the fruit from the tree that they were told not to. Remember that story? They were told not to eat of the fruit, and if they did, they would surely die. And Satan came along, or the serpent comes along, and he says, oh no, you will surely not die, because you know, when you do this, your eyes will be open. You'll be like, you remember what he said? You'll be like God. I mean, how good is that? And then they ate. It wasn't just a story of a no-no, of a mess-up, of a wrongdoing. It wasn't just a story of God said, here's a line, and yeah, I don't want you to cross, and they stepped across the line. It wasn't just a story that Adam and Eve did something wrong or that they just sinned. I think we think of sin sometimes as just messing up. We think of sin as sometimes just doing the wrong thing. But it was much more than that, because it was a story of union. It was a story of union with death. In Shane Wood's book, Between Two Trees, he talks about it as a certain part of it, or an idea that it was a communion. And so when Adam and Eve, when they ate the tree that they weren't supposed to eat, they ensued the first communion. And so they united themselves with death. You see, it wasn't just crossing a line, it was uniting themselves with death. And so we live with death. And we live under the shadow of the tree of death. And so we walk. We get the next slide to come up. And it doesn't look good. And we walk and we breathe and we live our lives in death. In the shadow of death. 20 years, surely you forgot one of your object lessons at your pew. It's a good thing we worship close to them. But we do. We live in this life that's united by death. I mean, the very next thing that happens after they leave the garden is Cain and Abel, remember? God finds something good in Abel's sacrifice, and Cain doesn't like it, so what does he do? He kills. And so there's death. And so that over and over in life, and then you just see these stories of people who would do things that just don't seem right. And you see death happening all over. And you see people running after death. And even today, we still live in the shadow of death. Every day you see it, just turn on your news channel. And you see death. And we tend to, and you say, why do I do this? God, why did I do this week? Why did I live? Aaron talks about the struggle in life. You're not alone, brother. Because we all do the struggles in life, and we tend to run towards that is negative, or that is wrong. That's why our world is filled with things like abortion and cheating and darkness and hate and killing, because there was a union with death. You see, it wasn't just crossing the line. There was a union with death. And so God's plan was this, that for us, that He would love us and that we would in turn love God. But instead, we chose to love death. Makes sense, right? God wanted us to have fellowship with Him. He wanted us to live with Him forever. But instead, we chose death. We chose living with God, with death, more than living with God. That's what Adam and Eve did. And so through one man, we have death. That's what the Bible says. And so in your life, you know, you go after it. You chase it. You wake up and you desire that isn't right. And you know it's not right, because it wasn't just crossing a line. It was being united with death. That's the seriousness of the thing that was. So the problem is, to be made right, we have to divorce ourselves from death. We have to completely separate ourselves from death. The problem is, we can't do that. You see, that water just became one with my body. I could somehow try to, yeah, we won't do that. I could try to spew it out. Some of it's still there. The breakfast you had this morning united with your body. You can never completely separate it. The nutrients, the sugars, whatever it is,
It's united with your body, and you can't. And so every time you've sinned, every time you've gone after, you've united. And so we live in this world, in this culture that says you can do better, you can be better, you can make it. I mean, I even heard on the radio somebody, another preacher in this world that says, you're not weak. Sure we are. Because we have been united with death, and death doesn't seek to build up, and death doesn't seek to make us better. Even Paul's struggle in Romans chapter 7. Remember, he says, those things I don't want to do, I do, even though I know I shouldn't do. I mean, I just know these things. I know I shouldn't be there. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 4, says the law is only the shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect, cannot divorce you from things that are in this world. Cannot make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, they would have stopped being offered. For the worshipers would have been divorced from death in this world, would have been cleansed once for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of our sins. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. You see, we couldn't do it. Not even through sacrifices over and over and over. Not even going to church over and over and over. Not even taking the Lord's Supper over and over and over. You can't divorce yourself from sin. You can't separate because sin sticks in us. You can't get rid of it. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10 says, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. Why? As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We don't keep it perfect. You see, you haven't divorced yourself. Even Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. And so we come today to worship the living God with this concept and this idea, taking another drink of death, of being reminded that we as people in this world have sinned. Every one of us. No one's better than the other. We can't get out of that. You can't escape it. I mean, it's something that just holds on to you and you can't get rid of. What a despairing life. That was Paul's cry. What a wretched man I am. Who can deliver me? Enter Jesus, where we all started in this gospel together. In the beginning, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. So you just kind of see this kind of rocky moment, you know? It's da, 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 you know? And you hear it and it's building up. The world is lost. And you can't sacrifice yourself to heaven. You can't give enough to give to be able to go be with God. You priest, they couldn't do it enough. You couldn't worship enough to get to heaven. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. And John looks and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who does what? Takes away the sin of the world. What's the problem? The problem is sin. The problem is a union with death. And no one can get us back except Jesus. And this is what Paul says to his disparaging comments, not disparaging, his woeful, depressing comment of who can rescue me. Thanks be to God, Romans chapter 7, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself am a slave to God's law.
But in my sinful nature, I'm a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What are you talking about, Paul? I thought you were just lost. I thought that you lived your life in a way that said you can't do the right thing. I thought you were in bondage to sin and you were united with sin. What do you mean there's no condemnation? What do you mean that I can't be condemned? I feel guilty every day of my life. I get up and I struggle and I don't know what to do with these children of mine. I don't know what to do with my job. I don't know what to do with my life. My life isn't the way I planned. What do you mean, Paul? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, verse 2, the law of the Spirit gives what? Life. Has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, by me, God did by sending His own Son in likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might fully be met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Paul would go on to say to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. God made Him who knew no sin. You see, this one who came and lived and died for us, the very one who surrendered Himself, God became us. Not only just became us. Not only became us, He had ears, nose, and hands, and feet. But He became sin. So all of a sudden, a holy God who did everything right, who never sinned, God is light. In Him there is what? No darkness. He had never sinned. All of a sudden, He's united with sin. That's the power of the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? United with death for us. Shane Wood talks about how do we survive life between the trees. Between the trees is the tree of knowledge of good and evil that brought death. And in the end of the Bible, where God says, to he who overcomes, the one who overcomes gets to eat the tree of life and live forever. How do we live between the two trees? Because honestly, that's the struggle. The struggle is not when we get to heaven. I mean, we believe it. I mean, how nice will it be if we can live for Him forever? I mean, heaven's going to be good, right? I mean, we sing the song, heaven is a wonderful place. You know, we sing these songs. That'd be a good song to sing. And heaven's going to be great. I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's going to be good. The old is gone, the new is here. But in the middle, between these two trees, is where we live. How do we live between this tree and that tree? We cling to that tree, the one in the middle. You hold on to the cross of Jesus Christ, because on the cross He became sin for us, that we could live so that we have life. Why is it important we do what we did a while ago when we pass the bread and pass the cup? Why is that important? Because in that communion, we commune with life. Not like the first one, where Adam and Eve commune with death. Jesus says, take this. This is my body. It doesn't represent His body. It is His body. It is His sacrifice. It is who He gave
for us. Because he wants us to know, Oscar, he wants us to know that he gave his life for us and that we have life through him. Take this, Charlie, this cup and drink it. Because he wants us to know that we have his blood. That'll preach, amen? That'll work. How do you live between the two trees? You hold on to the one in the middle. Because that's what gets us through. And no matter what you face today and tomorrow and this next week and the years after this, you can hold on because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Why is the resurrection so important? It validates everything. It validates all of this. Because Jesus is who Jesus said he was. So Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is a debate on resurrected bodies. And is there a resurrection? And Paul was debating that. But he wanted them to know something far greater. He says, when the perishable has been clothed in imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. You see, when everything has been made right, when everything is good, when everything that falls apart doesn't fall apart anymore, the saying is true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these words. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that our labor is not in vain. United again. That's the power of a resurrected Savior. That's the power of the one who gave himself for us. You've ran after death. And every day, we seem to mess up. Probably a good way to put it. Chase the things that we shouldn't chase. You've been there. You are there. You deserve death. Who's going to save us? Resurrected Savior, that's who. A lamb who looks as though he's slain, but he's alive. And so until the tree that gives life that we can eat and live forever, until we get there, we're going to hold on to the one who gave us life. And we're going to hold on to the cross. And we can believe in him because he's alive. Amen? He's not dead. He's living. And that gives you hope. When you go to work and you don't like your job and you think your life is just going down the tubes, he's alive. And it gives you hope. When your family didn't turn out like you thought your family should turn out, there's hope because he's alive. You haven't made the choices in your life that you should have made. He's alive. There's hope. How many of us have been washed in the blood? There's hope because he's alive. Maybe somebody today, what's my time? Oh man, if you're listening to the radio, I'm sorry. Preacher's probably going long. Maybe there's somebody today who needs to be washed in the blood of the resurrected Savior. Don't go out the doors. Don't leave today. If you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. That's what, in Acts chapter 2, I mean, Peter preached a sermon unlike any other sermon. And then they said, whoa. That's Greek, I think, in there somewhere. I like it, brother. Preach it. What do we do? what do we do? Man, I mean, it reads, brothers, what should we do? I mean, it does that. He said, go home, start a Bible study, get yourself right with God, make sure you're following Him the correct way, make sure you go to church 3 or 4 times in a row. He said that, right? No, he didn't say that. He said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, now, do it now. If you need to repent and be baptized, do it now, today. Wayne's going to lead us in a song. I'm going to stand up here. I'm going to invite you to come down if you haven't given your life to Him, if you haven't surrendered to Him in baptism. There's hope in the resurrected Savior for those who follow Him, for those who have given their life to Him, for those who have accepted Him in their lives. There's hope. There's hope for that. Will you come today as we sing, as we stand and sing? And if you need to give your life to God, go ahead and come up. I started the invitation and then kind of threw a curve at you. Wayne comes to lead us in song. If you need to turn your life to Christ, and we need to pray for you, you need to give your life to Him. Maybe you just need to be rested assured in the salvation of the One who died and is living again for you. If you need Him, come as we stand and sing.